Well, good evening, friends. It's just gone 7:30. Welcome to our annual choral service. Some of you, it's your first time at Oughton Park Baptist. Lovely to see you. Hope it won't be your last time, but it is genuinely nice to see you this evening. The choir, made up of members of our own church and also church over at Hilldale, Parbold Evangelical. And they've been practicing for several weeks, and I always thank them for taking time out of busy days in the lead up to Christmas to practice these pieces, which we'll hear tonight, and also obviously Nadine for leading the choir. After the service, refreshments are served in the room at the back here. So if you just go through either of these two doors, please stay and avail yourselves of those refreshments. You should have an order of service, okay? And at the back of the order of service, just to draw your attention to some of the activities that are on over the festive period. If you haven't got a regular place of worship and would like to come and join us on a Sunday at 11 o'clock, 6:30 Sunday evening, you'd be more than welcome. Christmas Day, our service is at 10:45. It will only be a 45-minute service, but all the information is there. Now, our opening choral is Once in Royal David's City. We'll sing this. It's 311 in these light green books, which you probably have, yeah? So it's 311. We'll stand and sing. I'll commit our meeting to God in prayer, and then everything else will follow as on the order of service. The folks who are reading know who they are. They'll come up. We won't be introducing any of the folks. You just come up and do that. So if we could sing Once in Royal David City. Thank you.
Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. There it was, that mother mild,
Let us pray. Eternal God, blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have not hidden yourself away in some remote place. You're not distant. You're a God who is close at hand. You are Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that you're with us in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I Am, the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Hosts, the King of Kings. And our God, how we rejoice that you came to us. You who inhabit eternity came to dwell with us. And as we think and reflect upon these very familiar truths, may the wonder and may the awe of what we are singing about and celebrating not be lost on us. These carols that we are singing, we've been singing them from childhood. We're very familiar with them. The readings will be familiar to us. And Lord, we ask that the carols and the readings would come to our souls with a freshness this evening. As we read your word, help us to see Jesus, who is the fountain of life. May we be taken up with him who loved us and give himself for us. We ask that you would still within us a sense of reverence and awe. Show us the realities of the unseen world, the glories of heaven, that the passing things of this world may become dim in the light of his countenance. So Lord, bless the choir as they sing. We ask, Lord, that you would reward their labors over the past several weeks. We pray that you would help us to listen to all that is said and done this evening. To the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen.
The first reading tonight is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his shoulder, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever.
Second reading is from the Gospel of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 down to verse 9. The peace that Christ will bring is foreshown. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding,
the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell down with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left, from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea.
Let not the bride
The third reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. Matthew tells of the birth of Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us.
Fourth reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. The shepherds go to the manger. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
The fifth reading is titled, "The Wise Men Are Led by the Star to Jesus," taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, search carefully for the young child. And when you've found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The sixth reading is from John 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but the will of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
Thank you.
I'm going to depart from the order of service, okay? And if you could turn in the supplement to number 52, number 52, in the light green hymn books that you have, a tenuous link, well, more than a tenuous link to the text I'm going to read in a second. So number 52, we'll stand and we'll sing, "Have You Any Room for Jesus?" Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. 2,000 years have passed, and we are now, according to Google Maps, 3,201 miles away from the original location. You could drive from Ormskirk to Bethlehem in 2 days, 6 hours. You could walk it in 36 days. Well, we have Google. We have Xboxes, we have iPhones, and every other gadget under the sun. But friends, nothing much has really changed, has it? Indeed, the response, the responses that we have heard read, and which in turn we have responded to in song, would be a fairly accurate reflection of our society at large. maybe, you know, the group present here tonight, and if we were to highlight one response that may characterize 21st century Western culture above all else, I would suggest to you that it would not be the hostility of King Herod, but rather it would be the apathy and the apathy of the religious people of the day. Indeed, by and large, the response to the things of Christ tonight is one of indifference and one of apathy. It has been well said that if the Lord Jesus Christ were to return tonight, it is somewhat doubtful if we would crucify him once again. Rather, we would just ignore him. It's doubtful whether he would get into any of our local or national newspapers, let alone make it onto breakfast TV to be interviewed by Piers Morgan. 21st century Britain is no longer asking if it's true. 21st century Britain is asking, is it relevant? The response of many a heart tonight is to go with the flow, to fit in with the times. But friends, if we were to look deep within our spiritual existence, we would be characterized, many of us, by a shrug. Doesn't matter. Is it relevant? You see, I want to suggest to you tonight that not only was there no room for the Lord Jesus in the inn in Bethlehem, but there is no room for him anywhere else. And if there was no room for him in the one place where the common people could go, we may be sure that the answer was no everywhere else. And yes, tonight we thank God for this nation, and we bless him for the freedom we enjoy. But are these facts not true? Tonight, there is no room for Jesus in the classrooms of academia. Tonight, there is no room for Jesus Christ in the corridors of power. Tonight, there is no room for Jesus in the cliches of religiosity. And tonight, there is no room for Jesus Christ on the counters of commercialism. As we have just been singing, there is room for pleasure, room for business, but not for Christ, the crucified. Not a place that he can enter, because so many are consumed with commercialism, the commercialism of the here and now, and accumulating whatever the advertisers throw at us. And I have no doubt already, with only 5 days to Christmas, some of you maybe here this evening are feeling yet again you've been suckered by all the glitz and the tinsel and the slick advertising. Because what you bought yesterday will be reduced by 50% next Thursday. It's all so shallow, isn't it? But it's packaged in such a way that we are told this is what we really need. Life will not be complete without this. And all the while, they are selling you the junk, because that's what it is. All the while they are selling you the junk, there is no room for Jesus. No room for Jesus in the hearts of the celebrants. When I have only one question for you tonight in this little chapel, is there any room in your heart and mind for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there room in the center of your existence for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in an attic cubby hole, you know, pulled out a couple of times a year at Christmas or Easter, or pulled out at christenings, weddings and funerals. But I'm asking you, is there any room in the very throne room of your heart? In the center of what it means for you to live. Maybe some of you here are saying to yourself, yes. But preacher, you know my life is a mess. I really am a wreck tonight. And yes, if I could just somehow clean up my act, if I could tidy up my life, if I could shape up a little more, stop saying the things that I say, stop doing the things that I do, going to the places that I go to, if I could stop living the way I live, then I am sure that my life would be cleaned up enough. And then I could say, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for you. My friends, do you know something? It's the Lord Jesus Christ who does the cleaning up. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who does the clearing out. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who does the transforming. Perhaps there are some who sit before me tonight, painfully aware of the fact that there is a great chasm between what you would really love to be true and what is actually the case. And if that's you tonight as an individual, Christ comes to you and he says, may I gain entrance to your life. And perhaps another is prepared to say this evening, yes, you know, I've been waiting for an opportunity like this because, like Pascal, the French philosopher, I'm aware of the fact that in my life there is a God-shaped void. Maybe you're very respectable. You've been very successful materially, comparatively. Maybe you're able to say, I'm, you know, well looked upon by my neighbors. I have given the customary greetings and the various gifts. But I know that deep within me, there is a hollowness that I can't fill. Well, my friend, Jesus says to you this evening, will you not allow me to fill it? It was December the 8th, 1980, when one of the greatest pop musicians of the last century gave an autograph in the morning to a 25-year-old security guard and received the bullets from the gun of the same security guard in the evening of the same day. 39 years ago, John Lennon, to the best of our knowledge, went into eternity with the cry of his heart from 1965, never answered. And you know, it may well be the cry of the heart of somebody here this evening. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now I am older and I'm not so self-assured. And now I've found I've changed my mind and I'm opening up the door. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? To that life, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he knocks and he seeks admittance. Imagine that your life had a door. And imagine that somehow we could open it. And don't for one moment imagine it with a handle on the outside, because the Lord Jesus Christ will never come and rent his way into your existence. He will never barge his way into your existence. The handle's not on the outside. Nor is the handle on the inside. This is an unusual door. But it's a door nevertheless. And it's a door that has to be opened, because the answer lies on the other side of that door. So how is it opened? Well, it's opened with the stirrings and the awakenings of the conscience. God has put a conscience in every one of us. And when God's word is proclaimed and God's spirit moves and he starts to speak to your heart, that stirrings, there's a door beginning to open. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many of you walk about day in, day out, and you're saying, oh my God, this, and oh my God, this, and Jesus, that, taking the name of the Lord your God in vain? The Spirit of God can fix you off it. The door's opening a little bit. You shall not lie. You shouldn't worship any other God. Not covet. Those stirrings in your conscience. My life isn't as it should be. I've broken God's law. And sometimes when those stirrings of the conscience happen, we don't want to acknowledge God, we shut the door again. And it's like our conscience is being seared, hardened. But God stirs. God moves. The door begins to open. And as God is drawing, and God is opening the door through the preaching of his word, we may turn and swing back the door and say, Lord Jesus Christ, there is indeed room in my heart for you. And will you not at this Christmas season, if you've never bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ, will you not bow before him this evening and say, yes, I want to change. I want you, Lord Jesus Christ, to come into my life and take control of it. You know that door that I'm talking about, I've asked you to imagine. Swings in two hinges. One hinge is a genuine sorrow for sin that turns away from it. And the other hinge is believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that says, Lord Jesus Christ, I want a reason for living my life. And I believe that in your birth you heralded your death, and in your death you bore my sin, and in your resurrection you prepared a place for me. And I ask you this evening, Lord Jesus Christ, to come and live within my heart. No room for the baby at Bethlehem's Inn. Only a cattle shed. No room on this earth for the dear Son of God. Nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross they give to our Lord. Only a borrowed tomb. Tonight, he is seeking a place in your heart. Will you still say to him, no room? Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Tomorrow you may call in vain. We're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, in your choral book, hopefully you'll have a little sticker over the third verse. If you haven't, you'll be singing different words to everybody else. So 298. Father, we thank you for this choral service, for the hymns, the chorals we have been able to sing that focus our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the world to save sinners. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the refreshments that are about to be served to us. We thank you for them. And we ask, Lord, that when we leave this building tonight, that you would go with us and that your Spirit would still minister to our hearts and souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.